Hey guys, thanks for tuning in again to another episode and tidbit of information along the spiritual lines and mystical lines. I appreciate you tuning in. I'm consistently getting listeners to every episode despite doing no promotion and just organic sharing and spreading by you. So thank you. Appreciate your support. This podcast episode will kind of highlight a little of my personal philosophy. In case you were wondering, which many people do based on a lot of the things I discuss, what my personal definition of a religion would be for myself. Years ago, when I really dove into the mystical elements of all of the religions, I found myself resonating a lot with Taoism. Specifically the Weizas of Taoism, which were essentially wizards who studied nature in order to learn from nature on how its processes unfold and manifest, and they would apply these lessons intrinsically and molecularly to their own quantum awareness and spiritual awareness and allow them to manifest abilities and intelligences and conscious integration of their mind into the natural environment itself. And what we probably know now is chemistry and technological development in times where those things were not as public and prevalent as they are now. They were considered magic and wizardry. And essentially, I resonated the most with these people because that's how I always viewed the world, like, as if nature was continuously and never-endingly teaching us whether we wanted to learn or not. And if we were tuned into learning from nature, we could unfold infinite mysteries and find real-life application for those lessons that we've learned. In more recent years, I suppose I've cultivated a certain faith and also an awareness of my own abilities and, let's say, incarnations and past lives and memories genetically. And also taken my want and hope to find something out of the equation and a recognition, or replacing that energy space, that void, with a recognition that I've already found everything and all the answers I need already exist within me. It's just a matter of getting out of my own way and distracting myself in order to listen and understand these things truly as fact and truth of my own. I've resonated more and more to a specific philosophy on Earth because I noticed and recognized that my innate patterns and habits were exactly the principles and rituals that this community does consciously. So they, upon finding this so-called religion or philosophy, its practitioners then go on to practice daily routines and awareness of consciousness, kind of modes and ways of viewing reality that are similar, if not completely aligned and parallel to the way that I naturally thought growing up. So it's very interesting. And my lifestyle patterns have always intuitively been aligned with this community more than any other community on the planet. And it's made sense even through childhood. The friends I've magnetized to had either an Ethiopian or a Jamaican background lineage. And it didn't make sense for me how this culture was influencing me so much. But now it absolutely does, because I have this expanded awareness of self and my experiences and my journey here on the earth plane time after time and the things I've brought forward with me to this point. So I identify, if I identify with anything, in terms of the spiritual realm, almost a religious realm. If people were to ask me now, I can very clearly and honestly say, because I've studied all of these different religions and philosophies, that I am a Rastafari, or I practice Rastafarianism. So let's get into specifically the nature of this podcast. It's not to discuss me or my philosophy. That was the first 5 minutes, perhaps. But from here on, I want to discuss the spiritual use of cannabis. Now, a lot of our generation, we've heard about the medical and medicinal uses and benefits of cannabis and marijuana and CBD and all these different aspects or variations of the cannabis plant. Now, what's super interesting is there's cousins of cannabis that are not, they don't contain or grow any THC. They provide other nutrition. And I'm actually growing a few naturally on my property here. They just stemmed up when I've been cutting the grass, and I see a little tree growing and I let it grow. And when it's big enough to identify it, I've learned that some of these things are the cousins, close cousins to cannabis, and have wildly effective and well-known medicinal properties that have nothing to do with mind-altering chemicals involved. So super interesting. But today we're talking about spiritual use of cannabis. And the reason I prefaced it with, you know, me kind of, in a way, identifying spiritually as a Rasta is because I have naturally smoked cannabis since I was about 13 years old. I'm sure I had tried it once or twice before that, but routinely, either on a weekly or daily basis, since I was 13, and I'm 36 now. And it has only brought positive effects to my life. I was the most elite athlete of my age group. Essentially, continuously, as I found competition, I would always rise to the top, the most athletic, the most fit, the best conditioning. And I smoked cannabis the whole time. So any argument that it is a detriment to physical or mental achievements is nonsense. I suppose it depends on the intrinsic nature, vibration of the person who's utilizing the herb, we should say. It's an herb, because we're going to get into that elsewhere. So yeah, it's absolutely advanced me. I've always been ahead of the curve when it comes to the so-called bandwagon and stuff, where, you know, where the collective consciousness and awareness is, I'm typically several years, if not decades, ahead of where the collective is. And it allows me a certain amount of freedom in terms of, you know, very early on in my life, knowing my purpose and my goals, blueprinting them. And, you know, as people were graduating school, I was already forming my own corporation. So by 25, 26, I had a 30, 40 page business plan that had everything mapped out that I needed to. So anyone I presented with this was giving me opportunities. Beyond, you know, that, I, at 25, bought my own house, cash with no mortgage. I was continuously making these moves, and now at 36, finding myself in Costa Rica full-time, essentially retired and figuring out what to do with the rest of my life in a new form of excitement, as if I'm just going into college again. It's definitely accelerated my ability to achieve and accomplish and manifest my dreams very quickly. Cannabis taught me about myself. It taught me about the world. It got me into horticulture and agriculture. It really showed me that there are magic medicines, there's magic herbs that exist on this planet that, you know, some of them have been held from us, but some of them are ever present and we've never been taught about them and nobody explores. And it's as if we're in this video game where all these bonus points are hanging around everywhere, and health stars and things that can get us, you know, extra lives, longer life, better life. And nobody is taking advantage of these things or utilizing these things that are ever present and around all the time. So, you know, cannabis to me has taught me not only about myself and my destiny, and my allowed me to have, you know, insight into visualization of my legacy and, you know, what I want to create here on Earth during my time here, allowed me a unique perspective, but it's also done wonders for my health. I've suffered a broken neck, a broken back, substantial, you know, burns all over my body, lacerations all over my body that were potentially never going to heal me back to normalcy. But everything about my story has defied medical expectations, and what every doctor told me, I superseded very easily. And I could give myself credit for that, saying I'm some superhuman, or, you know, my father was part God and I'm here on earth, but it would all just be hypothetical and fantastic. What I can accredit things to is I've always had a high amount of this herb flowing and other healthy foods flowing through my bloodstream, enriching my body's ability to heal itself. So where the normal person who's eating McDonald's, smoking cigarettes, using microwaves, like all the garbage lifestyle factors, not exercising, not educating themselves, they their body is not in homeostasis and it can't heal itself. And if they had influenced themselves with the proper herbs and nutrients ahead of time, our collective health would be better, and the expectations of the medical community would be higher, and everything would be resonating at a higher frequency and a more intelligent dimension of reality. But we're not there. So there's actual magic powers in a lot of these herbs that people are not consuming, and cannabis is one of them. So for the Rastas, smoking cannabis is a spiritual act, often accompanied by Bible study. They consider it a sacrament that cleans the body and mind, heals the soul, exalts the consciousness, facilitates peacefulness, brings pleasure, and brings them closer to Jah. They often burn the herb when in need of insight from Jah. So it's an accelerant of intuition. Cannabis remains illegal in Jamaica and most of the world, and this has caused friction between Rastas and other societies. It's the reason we don't hear a lot about the Rastas. By the 8th century, cannabis had been introduced by Arab traders to Central and South Africa, where it is known as Daga, and many Rastas say it is a part of their African culture that they are reclaiming. It is sometimes referred to as the healing of the nation, a phrase adapted from the Bible book Revelation, chapter 22, verse 2. The culture in Jamaica specifically was brought to the islands, to the Caribbean, by thousands of Hindus and Muslims from British India, rather than Jamaica, or from African nations and Ethiopia and, you know, what we know as the foundations of the people of Jamaica. So it's very interesting to trace the history of it. And at the time, in the development of the world, the most recent renaissance and mathematical and scientific explorations that had happened in the world were in the Muslim nations and the Hindu nations. People forget that, because as the West, as Europe was going through a dark age, they were experiencing their enlightenment period. And that had a lot to do with the herbal medicines that they were consuming, cannabis being a big part of that. And as they brought that over to the New World, many academics point to Indo-Caribbean origins for the ganja sacrament resulting from the importation of Indian migrant workers in a post-abolition Jamaican landscape. Large-scale use of ganja in Jamaica dated from the importation of indentured Indians. Dreadlock mystics, Jata, often ascetic, known as sadhus or Sufi colanders and dervishes, have smoked cannabis in Southeast Asia since the ancient times, or South Asia, I should say, not Southeast. The reference of chalice may be a transliteration, a term used by Sufis meaning bowl or cup or colander. In South Asia, in addition to smoking cannabis, it's often consumed as a drink. So this is you know, not just the smoking thing. This is a food thing. This is a diet thing. This is a influence the entire culture and evolution of consciousness thing to a lot of cultures on Earth. We see it as this exciting thing in the United States and Canada that happens to be healing people that no other medicines can help them with. And we're neglecting the fact that we are super ignorant and we're just peeking in on the surface of things because we are a very superficial Western world and nation, specifically of the United States, in which we don't like to look below the surface deeper into things. That's why the divorce rate is so high, because people look at simply the face and the outside of the person, and then they decide they want to marry the person. When they learn that the person's heart is different from theirs, they have no interest in remaining aligned with the person, because we, as a nation, never discovered the things that open our spirits up to the universe, our souls connecting to the world that we live in. It does not happen in our growth, and that's why I'm discussing this today. According to many Rastas, the illegality of cannabis in many nations is evidence that persecution of Rastafari is a reality. They are not surprised it is illegal, seeing it as a powerful substance that opens people's minds to truth. Something the Babylon system, the Western world, clearly does not want. The Rastas contrast it to alcohol and other drugs, which do destroy the mind. Cannabis is medicine. It is the tree of life. And there's proof of that in the Bible. If there are followers of the Bible as a guide to reality and a blueprint for what we are supposed to do here, the original science book, original mathematics, through prose and poetry, translating symbolism of spirit to the physical mind of man. Among some of the Bible verses justifying the use of cannabis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." All of the seeds, all of the herbs for man to consume, to grow into what they were meant to be, not limited from certain herbs for any reason. Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, "Thou shalt eat the herb of the fields." Psalms chapter 104, verse 14, He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 17, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, "The river of life proceeded to flow from the throne of God, and on either side of the bank there was the tree of life, and the leaf from that tree is for the healing of the nations." According to the Rastafari, the etymology of the word cannabis and similar terms in all the languages of the Near East may be traced to the Hebrew kanabosum, as one of the herbs that God commanded Moses to include in his preparation of sacred anointing perfume in Exodus chapter 30, verse 23. The Hebrew term also appears in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 24, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 20, Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 19, and Song of Songs chapter 4, verse 14. There are canonical references to the patriarchs Adam, Noah, Abraham, and Moses burning incense before the Lord, and also applied, and many Rastas today refer to cannabis by the term incense, a slightly changed form of the English word incense. Some Rastas claim that cannabis was the first plant to grow on King Solomon's grave. It goes back and forth over the years whether Rastas are allowed to smoke or they're not. More recently, it has been deemed that they are allowed to smoke cannabis legally owing to its use by them as a sacrament. This is a huge, 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 huge concern for the world today because the spiritual development of planet Earth, to a certain degree, is dependent on beings legalizing the most simple herb that grows on the planet. It is called a weed because it grows so easily and almost anywhere. A lot of talk is going into, you know, psilocybin and MDMA and a lot of these other stronger mind-altering natural and synthetic medications replacing the opiate trauma that has happened over the past 20, 30, 40 years. Essentially, to teach people about their minds and how they work, their subconscious, and their emotions, so that they can regulate these things to better operate in the world. What does that even matter if our souls are out of balance and out of flux? Because the fundamental thing that we need to stay on track as a species is being withheld from us and deemed illegal in many places. Now, yes, cannabis is going to heal many people from their physical ailments and mental ailments. But what we need is to teach people and share things like I'm saying today with more science, with more insight, with more perspectives commenting on the same thing that I'm saying, that as a collective community, we need to start consuming cannabis in our foods, in our drinks, not just recreationally or medicinally, because it will lead to leaps and bounds of progress for all of us. We will find peace, we can eliminate war, we can eliminate all health issues, we can advance our consciousness to such a point that each individual feels so empowered that they are a savant within themselves. And cannabis can bring that out from our genetic code. It's very simple. But most importantly, spiritually, it can teach us peace, which our world needs more than any health, than any wealth. We need to upgrade significantly in our level of consciousness, and cannabis is the only way to do so. DMT can heal the individual from their traumas. Psilocybin can bring waves of joy over you and make you forget all your problems. MDMA can pump your body full of antidepressant chemicals that make you joyous when you feel like you couldn't feel that ever again. But none of these things can restore the soul and bring us together as a species. That is the spiritual benefit and application of cannabis. So thank you guys for listening. Please share this not only with those cannabis enthusiasts that you're familiar with, but those who may question why people use it, its validity, why it's becoming, who are wondering why it's becoming such a big thing medically, and also why people have demonized it and been scared of it, because it shows man to himself. It teaches us about ourselves, and a lot of people are on this planet hiding from themselves, covering themselves up with makeup and fashion and falsehoods in terms of identity that eventually will catch up with them, and they will feel either regret or sadness or that they waited too long to discover who they were. Cannabis can show us to ourselves and can eliminate our fears and anxieties. It can teach us purpose. It can teach us how to find truth without needing a teacher. Because nature is here teaching us everything at all times if we just have the eyes to see it. And cannabis has the wonderful, miraculous ability to slow us down, to keep us present, to allow our senses to amplify in the direction that they most need to at the time that we need to perceive what our senses are showing us. So thank you guys for listening. Another one coming soon, and I'm going to keep switching it up, give you a little bit of everything, or hopefully a lot of everything. Thank you so much for listening. Keep tuning in. I appreciate you.